Writing about this in Washington Post, Amanda Erickson, a staff writer there, joins us on WGN Radio. Amanda, thanks for taking our call. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How about you?
Excellent. Was this something that people had been stewing or wondering about? I didn't see this one coming.
No, I think a lot of people are surprised. I mean, there's reports that even the Pentagon isn't quite sure kind of where this came from.
No kidding. You think even the Pentagon that now has to implement this did not know the president was going to tweet that?
Yeah, I mean, there's reports that say, you know, the Pentagon is referring everybody back to the White House, and it seems like at least some people were kind of caught unaware.
Well, he did say after consulting with his generals and top military advisors, I would like to see some names. Sarah Sanders said today it was, oh, I wrote down exactly the group she said he had been in consult with, but I wonder who advised them on this. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I don't, and it's not totally clear. The policy of allowing transgender people to serve openly in the military has been studied in the last couple of years under the Obama administration, and it just kind of went into effect in July.
Right, the policy that allows them to. But we also understand that there may be several thousand people, maybe six or seven is a number I'm reading, maybe 11. But there are clearly people in the military now who identify as transgender, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really disruptive policy. There's a study out from RAND that says it's probably anywhere from 500 to 4,000 people serving right now. And it doesn't seem like anyone has any guidance about what's going to happen to these people who are, you know, serving right now in the military.
Well, I got a million questions, and I'll bet you don't know an answer to a one of them. You ready? How will we know who they are? I mean, and what are you going to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, are you one of them? If so, you're out. If they want to be in and identify as transgender, it sounds to me a little like don't ask, don't tell.
I'm not an expert on kind of what it feels like to be serving. I think, I wrote an article this morning about sort of other countries and how they've, welcomed transgender service members. And I think one thing that's an issue is when people serving in the military would like to transition, so would like to sort of, go from one gender to another gender, there are certain accommodations that have to be made to make sure that those people feel comfortable and that they feel kind of welcome. So I think that's one area of confusion now in terms of how the U.S. will handle that.
What do you mean by accommodations?
In some places, in some countries, there is, the military will pay for, gender reassignment surgery. In other places, like Australia has a pretty good kind of handbook out about sort of, making sure that there are the right kinds of bathroom facilities for people and the right kinds of, living facilities to make sure that kind of people feel comfortable.
Changing facilities, bathroom facilities, and maybe reassignment surgery that would fall under some sort of military insurance or something like that. I wonder if that's really what's bothering people. I wonder if on the heels of the healthcare debate, he goes, all right, I know, we can cut that cost. We got these transgenders getting surgery on the government's dime. Let's throw them out. I wonder if that's motivating him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you kind of see in that tweet the reference to the cost, I think he's talking specifically about, the U.S. military or the U.S. kind of armed forces agreeing to pay for gender reassignment surgery. And the estimates about that are, between $2 and $8 million a year, which is certainly not no money. But, when you're talking about something like the American military budget, it just, very, very small.
Yeah, okay. This isn't a game changer there, is it? But I'm still kind of confused about how do we identify who the transgender in the military are and what are we going to do with them as a result? Do you have an answer to that?
Well, I think that the issue isn't really about kind of identifying them, but it's about, making people who are right now, serving and, serving, protecting us, feel kind of comfortable and welcome and feel like they can talk about this. And so I think it's maybe less of an issue of, figuring out who's who and more an issue of, saying as a unit of the U.S. government, we want you to feel open and to feel, welcome here. And I don't know how this, I don't think there's a lot of kind of clarity about how this policy is going to be, play out. But I think it certainly makes people feel like they don't really know what's going to happen next.
Well, I think it makes them feel like they're not wanted, if that's your point. And maybe now fewer will sign up or some will get out, but maybe some won't. It clearly makes them feel unwanted. But the president was clear about that. After consulting with my experts, please be advised, and that was his national security team and the Secretary of Defense, said Sarah Sanders today, please be advised, I don't know why I'm laughing, this is serious, but his rhetoric sometimes is so utterly unpredictable. Please be advised that the United, because the old Trump would be like, weird, transgenders, queers, gays, out. That would be a Trump tweet. This looks like it was written by a PR team, and clearly they don't. I'll continue. Please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow, will not accept or allow, meaning you can't even be in, is my read on that, or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. So if, you know, a tweet isn't law, but if the president has the power to implement his thoughts, then it sounds like he doesn't want them serving at all. Now, if somebody at the Pentagon has to execute that, I wonder how they're going to do that.
I think there's a lot of question about what this tweet actually means and how it translates into policy. And I have not seen or read anything that suggests that there has been a lot of kind of consideration of that.
I haven't either. So do you almost wonder maybe, huh? Maybe the president tweeted that, and we've all got our undies in a knot, whichever color they may be, but that, in fact, this may not actually be as big a deal as it feels. Yeah, it's, you know, an unfortunate thing to disparage a group and tell them they're not wanted when they're serving our country, but maybe we aren't going to start throwing them out. Is that your read on it, Amanda?
You know, it's just impossible to say because you know, it reads like a policy, but it doesn't seem like there's been any of the kind of the work that you would usually do, you know, to sort of articulate exactly what you're trying to say and exactly what this looks like. And so it's kind of hard to, it's impossible to imagine.
Last thing, does the president does have this authority. He can do something like this, right?
You know, I'm actually not totally sure, like kind of how you would translate this tweet into his policy. He can
Well, if Barack Obama implemented it, I mean, or, you know, authorized it, I suppose the current president can deauthorize it, say, oh, we're not gonna, you guys are out. That's my read on it.
That's my read too, but I'm not totally sure kind of how what the mechanisms are.
Because kings can do that, despots can do it, dictators can do that. Why can't presidents do that sort of thing too? That's what it looks like. All right. Amanda, anything else that, and you're right. I mean, other countries have been doing this. We've studied other countries, and our plan is rather modeled on some of our biggest military allies, Israel, Canada, Great Britain. I mean, Australia, how did they do it? Did they have any problems? Largely no. Therefore, let's do it that way. And now at the gate, the president says, I don't want that at all. You almost wonder if it's just because it's something with Barack Obama's name on it that he wants it out.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really important point. I mean, RAND, which is a kind of a big think tank here that does a lot of kind of work on military, studied this and talked to a lot of different countries. And there is no evidence that when these countries said you can come and serve and be openly transgender, that there was any kind of disruption. And that's the language that President Trump used in his tweet. And I just haven't seen any evidence of that. 18 countries are doing this right now. And, you know, they say that they're really, you know, they opened it up and they sort of welcome transgender people to serve openly and that there was no problem. That there is no problem with cohesion.
Yeah, well, I understand why people are confused by the very word transgender and the concept. They don't get it. They're not comfortable with it. They don't want to be around those people, or they just can't fathom that. I'm 57 years old. I understand that. But I also don't think you should be able to discriminate against those people. And I wouldn't even disparage them if they are useful or valuable to us. If that person says, I want to serve your country, I want to be in your military, why would you turn them away if they are capable officers, soldiers, sailors, etc.? Okay, I'm done. I'm going to get off my soapbox. Amanda, if you want to join us again sometime, we'd love to call you up. Keep reporting over there at Washington Post, and we'll reach out to you another day.
Great, thanks. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you do too. Amanda Erickson is there.